Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of Faith All Over the Place, your little podcast that could and will, and we promise will more frequently. Coming to you from the glorious Sonoran Desert on a warm, warm winter's day, I'm Steve Cruiser, and joining me deep, deep, deep in the woods of Georgia somewhere, my good friend and colleague, Chris Queen. How are you?
I am great. It is beautiful weather. It is 73 degrees right now. We're going to hit 75 today, and it's been such a nice break after January was such a difficult weather month for us.
Yeah, I was in Michigan for most of January. I got to be there for all the vortex stuff, and that was chilly.
This was the first time in 11 years that we had two snowstorms in one month here in Georgia.
Snow on Destin Beach in Florida or something. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay, that's like this. I've now seen in 1 month, in a 4 week span, I've seen fire on a beach in California and snow on a beach in Florida, and the beach weather's gotten a little.
And it's funny. I had breakfast with my pastor this morning, and we were talking about how the Gulf Coast got more snow at one time than we did in the two snowstorms that got put together.
It's fun to watch people who aren't used to some kind of weather have to get used to it for a moment. It's like, when they have an earthquake on the East Coast, mm-hmm. and they all act like it was a 9.2 or something. And it's like a
2.3.
Yeah, it's amusing. It's amusing. When everybody's acclimated, like if I were ever in a tornado, I'd be freaking out. I've never been in a tornado. We had a microburst here last summer, but anyway, it's not the weather report. All I said, I'm grateful to be back in my hometown because I think we're going to hit a record high today for the state. It's going to be in the mid to high
80s. I'm not quite sure how to help you with that.
And so Chris and I wanted to talk to you. We want to get off on the right foot this year. We're going to record more frequently. We've got this ambitious guest list of people we're going after. We figured we should have some product out there before we start getting them up.
That's right.
It's almost like we're being salesmen, and they said, "What do you have to sell?" Well, right now, not.
We're like one of those startup companies trying to sell on like Shark Tank.
Yeah, we're pitching an idea right now. But our last episode was just before the election, and it was titled "Pray Your Way to Election Day." And Chris mentioned something before we started today about answered prayers. And I was going, well, this is like, I don't know about you. I will pray for the country. I will pray for certain leaders. I won't pray for an outcome, though, in politics.
Right, right.
I don't know where you are. Where are you?
Do you ever pray
for a specific outcome?
Selfishly, yeah, I do. But I always, when I do that, I wind up checking myself and going, all right, Lord, your will be done. Whatever it is, your will be done. So I do. And then I wind up having to kind of confess that selfishness.
Yeah. I'm sure I have at some point. Maybe, I don't know. I'm like, I can't believe for this election, though. I've mentioned it several times already at 5 o'clock somewhere and in the morning briefing, like I was not quite aware at how much of a downer the entire Biden experience had become in my life. I knew it was, but then once it was lifted, it's a revelation every day that I'm like, oh, that's gone. We're done with it. We're done. 2020 is finally over.
Oh yeah, yeah.
2020, the longest year in the history of years.
That is what it felt like. It was like Groundhog Day, but it was Groundhog 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and the groundhog was rabbit.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So this is, it's easy. It's when you look at this election from our perspective, it was an answered prayer because this country was teetering on the brink. Religious freedom was teetering on the brink. We had a vehemently anti-Catholic Catholic in office, which was much to my chagrin, of course.
Oh, yeah,
The philandering John Kennedy was a much better representative of Catholicism than Joe Biden.
Who'd have thunk, right?
Than the baby-killing Joe Biden.
Exactly.
But, so, we can look at this as answered prayers, and I think this is like the biggest, this is it's not just such, it's such a huge answered prayer. You start to think, okay, do I deserve another one for a while? You know what I mean?
Well, and it really, in a lot of ways, it feels like answered prayer after answered prayer, because, you know, we were a little bit concerned about Trump going a little wobbly on abortion and things like that. And he's really shored up his pro-life bona fides. And he's also, you've done a lot for religious freedom, religious liberty. And that's a big deal, especially after the Biden administration kind of slapped us all in the face.
I think we did talk about this last year, talk about where Trump's definitely moved towards a religious perspective on a lot of things, like it evolved in the last 8 years. And many have thought it insincere. And I don't think it is.
No,
I think it's very sincere, especially after the first assassination attempt.
Right.
That seemed to be a very, you know, the old phrase, like a come to Jesus moment for him. I think that was the real game changer there.
Yeah. I was just telling Sarah Anderson, our one of our newest writers and a good friend of mine. She's been a friend of mine for 15 years. And we were talking after the second plane crash about Trump's messages in both, responding to both plane crashes. He ended with God bless you all. And I told her that was still a little bit of a shock to hear that coming from Trump.
And it's, you know, as Christians, it shouldn't be. We should be. We're always, I mean, I've always got somebody whose conversion I'm praying for at some point.
Right.
Somewhere. That's a never ending thing. And definitely. We shouldn't be surprised when that happens. We should be like, okay, why shouldn't, like, all of a sudden we're saying, oh, we were worried that God might not be able to work on Trump.
Right, exactly.
That's what it sounds like.
It's like, true. Yeah, I mean, we should never, I mean, we should always be impressed by God, but we shouldn't be surprised by God.
That's okay. That's a great line.
Thanks. Yeah, appreciate it.
That's what it's felt like to me. I'd actually thought about it a couple of times. I'm going like, well, yeah, why shouldn't God be able to bring him around? It's easy work for him.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think it's genuine. I think it's good. And going forward in this year, I think, you know, we have a lot to look forward to. We have a lot to be grateful. It's great to start a year with gratitude.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. It's, you know, I personally, since we share our journeys here, I start every day with a gratitude prayer.
Okay.
Like a lot of people. But it's like, that's the way I figure that's the best way to start the day. The more involved I am in the prayer, the more present I am, and the better the day is, usually. Even if the day takes a hard turn in the direction I hadn't expected right away, I'm more grounded when I'm fully, because some days, you know, you do it every day, it gets to be by rote after a while. You just
like, yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, God, thank you. You know, I said I'd do this every morning. Most of the days I try to breathe, center myself, and get involved in it because it's a better day. So I like gratitude, and I know I don't seem like the most, hey, yay, you have to like pat you on the back, but I'm still that guy sometimes. And so I think starting a day that way is such a wonderful mindset. Being able to start the year that way, even though we had to wait 20 days.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But everything since we waited 20 days, it's just been remarkable. So I can't believe.
I mean, it sounds, I don't know if quite the right word, selfish is quite the right word, but I do spend a lot of time going, you know, thank you, Lord, that we have somebody in office who protects people like us. You know, protects people of faith, protects Christians and Jews and you know, pro-lifers. And that, you know, that is an area for massive gratitude for me.
Well, yeah, they were throwing, the DOJ was throwing people in jail for singing hymns outside abortion centers. They were busting people for things like, okay, you know, they tried to hand them a pamphlet touched the person who was going in, and they were calling that a violation of the FACE Act.
Yeah.
It was such a perversion of the law, such a godless perversion of the law. And
oh, absolutely.
I can't get too preachy about anything because I still need to do a lot of work on myself, but I am my pro-life cred is pretty solid over the years. I'm like, you guys, back in the day when Twitter was still Twitter, and people complain about it not being as much fun anymore. Well, I'm one of the people who used to make it a lot more fun. I would do goofy things all the time. We'd have a lot of fun and everything. But then I became kind of known every once in a while. I'd be Friday nights. My daughter was with her mom on Friday nights and me on Saturdays. And so on Fridays, I would like just drink and do laundry. Then if I did enough drinking, very often around 3 a.m. on Saturday, I'd launch into this like righteous pro-life rant. I'd go off on somebody. I'd go off on a pro-abortion person. Twitchy used to grab a couple of them back in the day before we were all colleagues. And they were like, oh, Cruiser's at it again. And I would be, I said, pound for pound, I'm the guy you want out there with the big mouth fighting for pro-life causes. But I think that's a good thing. So Chris and I weren't sure where we were going to go with this, but I think we can talk about, we established starting off the year with gratitude, and then we can just kind of like go over maybe some of we can brainstorm our plans for this podcast for the year.
Hey, that's good. I like it.
With all of you, knowing now that we come from, you know, we're not just going to be praying for the salvation of the Republic all the time. Although that's still a valid prayer. There's still people, as we've seen just in the last 2 days with the USAID stuff, or USAID. How do people pronounce that?
I've heard more people saying USAID than I think I've ever heard before.
That's what the Secretary of State is saying. So, but we've seen American politicians fiercely come to the defense of an organization that was funding terrorists around the world.
Right.
Under the auspices of the United States government. Victoria wrote a great thing about that. So we can still pray for the Republic. We'll do that. Okay, brainstorm. You spitball, I'll spitball. I think one thing we could do, once we get going, once we get an audience, people paying attention, you can comment on the post. Maybe we'll set up an email address. I don't know. Maybe you can. If you're VIP platinum, you can direct message us.
Yes, definitely.
But we will. I'm open to this being a clearinghouse for prayer intentions that anybody needs once we get the audience going.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I have a book of prayers sitting on my desk. Whenever anybody asks for something, it goes in the book. They get a prayer right away, and then they get prayed for as part of the book of intentions. And so I would love to do that. I think
that's a terrific idea.
The world could use more of that. Like, we're talking about politics today. Politics is really, that's the podcast that our boss is doing with Lincoln. So we don't want to do too much politics here. But hey, It's hard not to talk.
That is true.
Because
it's an exciting time. You know, it's just a great time to be a conservative.
It's an exciting time for people who thought they might never be excited about anything again.
Oh, right, exactly, and especially when there was, you know, that creeping fear that Kamala would get elected.
Oh God, I would be testing out the Wi-Fi for my new residence in Mexico.
Oh, definitely.
I already had it mapped. I was going to go to Puerto Vallarta or Poland. I think the beach would have won in the end.
There you go. Hey, I can understand that.
But yeah, I had that all set up. That's what I spent the last 3 weeks before the election doing, planning my expatriate day. That's cheery, isn't it?
Look, I had confidence. I really thought Trump was going to just barely squeak through, but I had confidence.
I've had too many years in Republican politics, and I felt like Charlie Brown kicking the football. That's what I felt like.
I wasn't confident at all in 2020, but I was this go round, and it felt good for my confidence to just even go through the roof.
As I said many a time leading up to the election, It's true. I've never been more happy to have been proven wrong in my life.
That's, yeah, absolutely.
So, we would also like guest suggestions from you. Chris and I have quite the list of people we're going after. Again, we mm-hmm. wanted to have several episodes under our belts before we started reaching out to people. But it's going to be that time soon. And I know I want to go after, Matt Fratt is blowing up. Talk about him. He does the Prince with Aquinas podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And I've known about him for years, but all of a sudden he's all over the place. He's interviewed Jordan Peterson. He's in deep with the Daily Wire guys now. And I forget who else. I think, no, there was another podcast where I became aware of Sean, what's his name? I just blanked on it.
McDowell?
Sean McDowell. And I've reached out to him once, but I'm going to give him a harder sell with a little more Salem heavy sell, as we've discussed.
Mm-hmm.
You lead with Salem when you're going after people who don't know you in the religious sphere.
Right.
And I would really love to have him on.
That would be good.
He's a great interview. I've heard him interviewed a couple of times on podcasts. And I've read most of that. It's a huge book. It's a reference book, really.
Oh, yeah.
that he did the follow-up with his dad on. But I would love to get him in here. I'd love to get Matt Fratt in here. And I would love to get some local. There's some people that I know personally, some people Chris knows personally, who I think it's all going to mm-hmm. start. It's all going to start coming together soon, especially now that Chris and I are scheduling recording times.
Yes. we it's like we grew up.
We had
like we were just kids when we first started this, and now we're growing up and planning things.
Yeah, and it's like we'd sit there going, "Oh, we're going to record next week," and then next week suddenly it was Friday, and we go, "Oh, we didn't record." And so now we're scheduling these things. We want to. It's important. It's an important time. It's important to reflect in good times as well. A lot.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's when things can really go off.
I think another thing too is that we have these ambitious and exciting ideas for guests, but we don't have to always have a guest. And I think that's something that we realize too, is that we can record with just the two of us without a guest, and it's okay.
Yes. And we were going to do that, and they don't have to be long recordings. So it'll be quick ones. Just as long as you know that we're here.
Yes.
Just as long as you know that we will pray for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's bragging, but yes, I am arrogant. I would say I struggle with that, but I really don't struggle with that.
Right, right.
I'm in the God made me this way. Yeah, firmly. I'm like, I used to sit there and go, oh, this should I be doing this kind of comedy? Should I? Oh God. Yeah, just, no. This is the way I came out almost fully formed.
The God given abilities that I'm confident in, I'm. A lot of times swing more towards overconfidence. So I understand that completely.
So, but it was my sister once said to my brother-in-law years ago, and I took this as a great compliment too. She said, when Steve says he's praying for someone, he's actually praying for them.
That is good. That is good. I love that.
I guess I have a lot of flaws, but I do pray a lot. I'm good.
That's good. Yeah, that's always good.
I'm very conversational. So yes, we would love to pray for anybody.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's not uncommon. One of the great things about working for this group, it's not uncommon for us to ask for each other for prayers. Right. Yes. In our back channel discussions, it's imagine that. Imagine a workplace that's not at a church, but where it's commonplace for people to say, "Hey, could you pray for this? Could you pray for this? Could you pray for my niece? Could you pray for my grandson?"
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. This is like, we're very fortunate in that regard here. You can't get away with that in a lot of.
That's true.
You can't just blast the entire group and go, "Hey."
Even in the conservative sphere.
Yeah. We're, that's one of the, you know, Salem made its mark in Christian radio first. And
yep.
Now they've expanded and brought in heathens like me. brought in ne'er-do-wells. I'm like, this is you want arrogance. I'm like Saul on the road to Damascus, and I just got the Paul part, But I'm going like, yeah, I might want to go back a little bit.
I always hear people talking about being being on from the south side of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. It's like, and if it sounds like I just likened myself to St. Paul, yes. make America, make I don't know. I was going to come up with a bad. There's so many mega. Make America healthy again. While we're recording, they're voting on that. They're voting on RFK Jr. Or is that
right? Be interesting to see how that breaks.
Look, he's still a lefty, but
yeah.
That doesn't mean he doesn't have some decent ideas about what to do. Well, a lot of what he says about, we're the processed foods, that he's right. We eat like crap in this country.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
The administration will ensure that he stays in the administration's lane on things like life issues and the environment and things like that, and it'll be fine.
I think everyone's gotten the memo.
Yeah.
That this is a conservative administration. I think everybody's it's the worries we had about Trump and his conservatism in 2016 have vanished into the ether. They haven't vanished. He's made them vanish.
Right.
There were people in this, I'm not going to go deep into politics, but there were people who were worried about Rubio because they're still mad at that vote from 8-10 years ago on immigration. And I'm going, at some point, people, you got to get over it. Talk about forgiveness. You got to forgive your leaders too, because if you don't forgive your leaders, that means you're expecting them to be perfect all the time, which is
that's just stupid.
Which is just an ignorant way to go about things.
Because even the most conservative leaders let us down on things. So
everybody lets you down on something.
Right.
Or no, there are political leaders who are working. We call them our leaders, but they're working for us. They're not our gurus. They're not our rabbis. They're not our preachers. They're not our priests. They're flawed people. Mm-hmm. You try to find one of the better ones who's willing to do the job to do it. And then I think it's just insane when people go, oh, he did that one thing I didn't like. He's dead to me.
You wouldn't do that with your friends or your family.
You wouldn't do that in any sphere other than, we forgive our religious leaders all the time.
And then we all become Puritans when it comes to politics.
Yeah. Just like, well, there's the litmus test. Didn't pass. You're done.
And I do say we, honestly, because I've been guilty of that too.
I'm pretty sure I was a lot more rigid about things during the Tea Party years. I was a lot that was just such a, because that was a reaction to something too. And when people failed us, then it kind of, because you bust your rear end to help get someone elected, and then they go in and they kind of like shivvy in the back the second they get in office. It's rough, but I think we need to work on forgiving our politicians more, and it's working out in this case. We did. Trump is not Trump. Trump 2025 is not Trump 2017 at all.
Amen. And I'm actually working on a column about that right now. Well, not right now, but today, talking about how this go around, Trump 2.0 has a lot more wisdom.
Yeah. A lot more wisdom and better people surrounding him.
That's true.
And it was a very simple reason that didn't work the first time, because he came from the private sector. People come from the private sector or from the military and go into politics, find out that politics is very different than the private sector or the military.
Right.
It doesn't run like that at all. And that's where the problem, you see so many military people, guys get into office or even run for office, and the whole process is so antithetical to everything they've been dealing with their whole lives. Strict order of command, this, that, you tell someone to do something, you do it, everybody. No, it's just, it's so, there's wisdom there. And I do think there's, more guided by faith action going on with not just him. I mean, Rubio's a devout Catholic. A lot of the people he's got in there are devout Christians.
Oh yeah.
And we're not ruling anybody else out. I don't know the entire administration yet, but we'll come up with a list and figure it out. But
even somebody like RFK is a committed Catholic. I don't know how devout he is.
Yes.
He's committed.
He's committed. There's still, and just for
he's faithful, again, even if a lot of his beliefs outside of the faith leave a lot to be desired.
For those of you who are not Roman Catholics and are wondering, because of all the rhetoric from Democrats in the last few years, I would like to remind everyone that abortion is still a grievous sin and not condoned by the Roman Catholic Church. No matter what Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, and maybe RFK Jr. are telling you, there's no way to reconcile being
nor is it a position that we non-denominationals support.
No, it's there's no way to reconcile being a faithful Roman Catholic with being a drum beater for abortion. You can't. It's not. Right. You can have an abortion experience or something and ask God for forgiveness. That's different.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're a champion for the most heinous of acts, that's not. So that's still not a thing. So there's a lot of praying. How are we not getting invited to the March for Life? I need to know that.
That's a good question.
It's not exactly like I'm dying to go to DC in January, but I just like. You would think that this would be a no-brainer to get even more eyeballs on. I'm going to reach out to someone. Well, one of the people I know who goes there every year, we're going to try to get her on, Amber.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But we must have some. I really think that the entire mothership should have a better presence than that, not just those of us who live near D.C. Every year I see that, I'm going, why am I not there?
Right, right. Well, and then like here in Georgia, we do a March for Life in March, and but it's always during the week, so it's hard for me to justify taking a day off just to go cover one event, you know.
And the March one is like the national,
yeah,
thing, right? Yeah, because that always. So you want to know? Okay, I should stop complaining about this and get in on it next year. The March for Life, usually the way it proceeds here, comes right in front of my house.
Okay,
because my church is like half a block, up the street from me. They go by, and then there are people who have been praying, I think, all night at my church or something, who join the march there, and then they go up about another mile to the Catholic cemetery and they pray.
Oh wow!
They pray there, and so next year, if I'd forgotten about it, I'm jumping in the line as soon as they come by. So at least I can do it here. But I really. One of the things reasons I would like some of us to go, when you're dealing with something like that in an increasingly secular world, you start to think that you're alone. You start to feel like you're on an island. You have your faith community, you have your church,
right?
And that's like, okay, that's good. But then you go, okay, but now I'm out in the greater world and everybody's just like lost it. When you get together for things like that, you see how many other like-minded people there are.
Yes.
And how many other people share that common goal. And just like during the Tea Party years, I should say the greatest value was in us getting together. Not that anybody was learning anything super new at any convention or any gathering that we had, but just knowing that you weren't out there shouting into the void.
Right, right.
And that there were a lot of people on board with you really does fuel, your enthusiasm for the cause. Just knowing you're not alone.
So yeah, there's always something encouraging knowing that there are other people who believe and act the way you do.
Yes. And then you and I are all about the ecumenical take on things here, mm-hmm. and that's quite the gathering of people of faith.
Oh, absolutely.
From all over the spectrum in the United States. We got a year to work on that.
That's right. There we go.
Maybe we'll see if we can get Lila Rose or somebody on the thing.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool?
Let's hit her up too. Why not? Dream big.
Cool.
Father Dave from my old parish, St. Monica's, who's there. He's also runs a production company in Hollywood. I would love to get him on here to talk about entertainment.
I would love to get my pastor on. And I might even kind of wait with him until he and his wife adopted a baby about 6 months ago. And this is something that our listeners can pray for. They're running into issues with the biological parents. and, you know, a potential court case involving them. And we just, you know, we definitely been praying for them that they can get this resolved and not have the risk of losing the baby over their heads.
Yeah, I've known people who've gone through that before. It's just it's gut-wrenching for them. And it's like, it would be my biggest fear if I ever adopted a child too. It's just, there are things. Yeah. It's, we will pray for that. I think, I'm writing it down.
Yeah. Thank you. Good. There we go.
I'm writing it down.
That was one of the big topics of conversation in our breakfast that he and I had together, that he just, it just weighs on him. He's optimistic, but at the same time, always something kind of weighing on his mind with that. And that's hard because he's a beautiful, sweet little 6 month old boy. And, you know, we know that he's in a wonderful Christian home. And if he goes to the birth parents, God knows what will happen to him.
And family law judges aren't always. You only hear about them when they do the dumbest things, like with OJ.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
But I don't know. So, and by the way, this prayer book is not just like a cheap out from me. One of the reasons that I started doing the Book of Intentions and everything is because as you get older, and especially in the social media era, when more people know that you will pray for them, that daily list gets big.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't remember everybody, especially late at night when I'm praying before I go to sleep. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sleepy. And then after a while, you just can't remember everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just easier to, like, okay, there's, you know, churches do it all the time. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay for individuals to do it.
Oh, absolutely.
And I highly recommend it. Get yourself a little prayer intentions book.
Well, and then you can also record the answers to the prayers. Yes. And that increases your gratitude as well.
So we're going to pray for you. Maybe we'll do that email address. I don't know. I got to set up an email address for the briefing today. We're not doing it through the mothership. That became problematic because I had no control of the original email address, and then it just got spammed into oblivion.
Oh, yeah.
From various political individuals. So I had to get rid of that, and I'm going to be setting up one I'm doing on my own. And because it's, you know, as much as I despise email for these kind of things, people still love to send you an email. It's the It's the new letter to the editor. There are people who will give you a one paragraph comment and a seven paragraph email both.
Yep.
On something. And it's like, and I like that. Just interact, even if they're hating on you. They're just like, I don't imagine we'll be inspiring that much hate with this podcast, but, you know,
I should hope not.
In my other multimedia ventures for this company, take people off once in a while. Under most circumstances, I'm not here to make friends. Only for this podcast. Only for the purposes of this podcast am I here to make friends. Everywhere else, if I start to get too nice, people are like, that's not what we're paying for. Nobody needs a super warm and fluffy Steven Cruiser.
There you go.
And Chris gets to look at this picture of me right now from the Day of the Dead 7 years ago, where yes. I'm all face painted, sugar skull face painted, sugar skull hat that looks almost like a Mardi Gras hat. It's like, I saved that hat. I'm going back to the Day of the Dead celebration next year. I haven't been to it in the last few years.
I bet that is fun.
It's absolutely gorgeous here. It's like the procession goes super, super slowly. There's this big urn. You write down who you're praying for, throw it in the urn, and then it gets to this park. It's about a mile long procession, but they move so slowly it takes forever.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all these the costumes, everything, and they get to this park, and they hoist the urn way up in the sky and set it on fire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's intense.
That is really cool.
So, there, you got our little plan here. You got a little, we just wanted to come out the gate, get something recorded. We planned on it last week. We're going to keep planning. We're going to keep doing it so that you will know every week. And I'm like, and this same goes for Unwoke, Kevin and I have a hard time getting that one together because he has a burgeoning radio career too right now. But we're going to try to get that going. Because this year there's so much good to talk about. We should all be doing more of our multimedia things too.
I totally agree with you there.
Because we're not all hang dog expression, gloom and doom, woe is us anymore.
Feeling like the hangman's noose is getting ready to be thrown around our necks.
So and as Stephen Green said yesterday on the Monday edition of 5 o'clock somewhere, he said, somebody asked me if I'm tired of all the winning yet. No, I am not.
Please, can we have more winning?
I'm not even close to being tired of all the winning yet. And
the first go round with Trump, you know, there was some winning, but we didn't get to that point of really, really reveling in the winning like we are right now.
Well, I will, you know, and one of the reasons that was then is because he caved to all the distraction stuff from the people who were trying to distract him.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
He felt that he had to respond to every person in the mainstream media who tried to disrupt him. He's not like that anymore. They are just tuning these people out. There will be a well-placed comment to put them, tell them, oh, yeah, we're not dealing with this. And then they were focused and go straight at Holman is focused, Rubio's focused. Doug Collins was just voted in as head of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Okay.
Oh, good.
That's the thing. There's a focus here. I said in the morning briefing today, we're recording this on Tuesday, I said, these people are on a mission and they're behaving as if they're on a mission.
Yes, absolutely.
And they will not be distracted. And it's, you know, and you can't ride this forever. It's politics. Again, they're going to disappoint us. Chris and I won't be doing a lot of hand wringing here.
But the fact that there's so much unity in this mission right now is also so encouraging.
Pray for your leaders. Forgive your leaders, people. Forgive your leaders. That's what your friends here at Faith all over the place.
And
Chris and I aren't ruling out various bourbon tastings for this either.
Amen.
That stuff you got me last year. Good. And I owe Chris another bottle now for taking over the briefing so well, or even just for being on standby this weekend. Thanks a lot for that.
I appreciate it.
I learned a lot from that, though. I learned because I had most of that briefing done by noon Eastern on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And now, because that's easy to do on the weekends. You've got 3 days worth of content to work.
That's true.
Because I haven't published since Friday morning. There's no reason why I can't have Sunday's briefing done mostly before brunch.
Absolutely.
That was a great learning lesson for me this week. I'm not going to do my usual linger on Sunday and then get around to briefing the last night. No, I'm going to knock that thing out early, have most of my day.
That has to feel liberating to know that now, too.
Yeah. So that was a great learning lesson, but I was able to do it without worrying because Chris was monitoring everything, waiting to see if I got, well, I wasn't going to get stuck in Phoenix, so I connected in Phoenix this time, and I have a zillion cousins there, but like when I do these late night flights and I connect in Dallas, if anything goes wrong with the weather, I'm screwed and I'm stuck in Dallas for the day.
But several years ago I went to a conference in Austin and had to bounce from Austin to Houston to Dallas before I got back to Atlanta because of weather delays.
They can't handle, speaking of people who can't handle weather, the Dallas airport cannot handle any kind of weather. And they get frost all the time, but they're paralyzed. At Dallas, at DFW, they're paralyzed when there's any weather anomaly there.
Oh, absolutely. And
I fly American from Tucson, so most of my flights connect in Dallas. Trust me, I know once I speak.
Dallas was, yeah.
I've done this.
But this was thunderstorms, and because the thunderstorms were moving west to east like thunderstorms do, every airport I went to had a delay and a change. It was like, yeah, I just want to get home. It's 11 o'clock at night.
My flight to, this has nothing to do with this podcast, but we'll wrap up on a lighter note here. My flight to Detroit last month was, I was working on the briefing the night before and I got a notification from American that my flight in the morning had been delayed. I'd never gotten a notification 10 hours early before. I'm going, wow. Like, oh, it's a winter travel day.
Yeah, no doubt.
So your flight out of Tucson's delayed by over. And that stuck. It didn't change. Thank God. It was just like, so I get there and I'm like, oh, I've got a really tight connection in Chicago now. Because I had a super long layover in Chicago. But now I had a super tight connection. I'm going like, that's a big airport. If I'm not in the same terminal.
Yeah.
Or if I'm not in the same concourse, we're screwed. And when I'm on the plane, it's long. I sleep on planes. I go to sleep. Right. I wake up. We land in Chicago. I open the app. While I was asleep, American rebooked me on a later flight.
Yeah.
So that I wouldn't miss anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the later flight was delayed by over 2 hours.
Gosh.
So
it was a way later flight.
But O'Hare, you got food options, okay? You're not.
That's true.
If you're going to be there a while, it's a good place to be somewhere for a while. So
that is true.
Now my daughter is in Ann Arbor. I haven't seen her since last May. My niece is there. They're all out to dinner at my favorite restaurant. They're going, come on, we're already at Zola. Come join us. It's just started to snow, and this is the best part. This is like a Lucy episode. I get an Uber driver who's a sweet guy, wonderful dude, just overly cautious in the weather.
Oh no!
And it's like a half an hour at regular speed from the Detroit airport to Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
My man's doing 35 to 45.
Oh, gosh.
And they're like, the whole family's texting me, where are you? And I went, and my sister's like, it's even more dangerous if you drive slowly. I said, I don't think me telling him that my sister says speed up is going to work. But it was just like the longest day. It was like one delay after another. And then I get the Uber driver, and I told the 5 o'clock somewhere people yesterday, it's like one of those dreams where you're running but not going anywhere.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Like, I just want to get there.
Oh so gosh.
That was a weird travel. But you know what? That's one of those things where when you know it's baked into the cake, you don't get, when people freak out about travel delays, I'm going, dude, it happens.
Yeah. That's true. It's just baked into the cake of travel.
That's like going to the grocery store at 7 p.m. the night before Thanksgiving and being annoyed that they don't have any turkeys.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that's the way it is. Well, exactly. Chris, I'm glad we got together. I'm glad I woke up in time today. I barely did today.
Before we close, I want to kind of brag on God for an answered prayer and send a shout out to a couple of friends of mine. My friend Hunter and his wife Josie have been asking me to pray for her her citizenship application, and she had her interview today, and she will become a U.S. citizen this Saturday.
Woo! Dude, I'll toast that.
She had it. You're just getting into this country. They got married in 2019. She came here in 2019, and then just starting the citizenship process with the bureaucracy of COVID and all those delays was just such a headache and a nightmare. So it's so good to see, you know, God answer her prayers and to be able to do that.
And by the way, friends, it's okay to be vehemently opposed to illegal immigration and still acknowledge that our legal immigration process here stinks. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not mutually exclusive positions to hold. Okay.
Not at all.
And that's one of the, you know, the conversation gets a little weird sometimes because people on the other side will act like we're not acknowledging. No, we're acknowledging it. Okay. It stinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it also stinks that I don't have enough money to buy a Lamborghini. That doesn't mean I should go steal money from someone.
Amen. There you, or steal a Lamborghini.
Don't just flat out steal the Lamborghini. That's my go-to car for whenever anybody acts like I have extra money. My sister said, why don't you just go do this? And I said, oh, yeah, I'll take that out of the Lamborghini.
That's right.
I always talk about my Lamborghini fun. Okay, well, Chris, and Chris is working today, too, still. So we distracted him from, there are a lot of grammatical errors that are just begging for him to return right now.
I'm hoping Paula is taking up the slack right now, so we'll see.
Paula's back from the dead. Her first day back from knee replacement surgery was inauguration day. So she jumped straight back into the fire. And
I was so grateful that she came back then because it was a long day.
It was a long and exciting day, but I'm still tired. So anyway, Chris and I will be back next week, with or without a guest. We do not know.
That's right.
We will discuss this as soon as we're done recording. recording, and we'll see what we can do. But thank you all very much for being here. We will be praying for you for whatever you need. We will do a vague, general blanket prayer for listeners, even though we're still trying to get listeners. But
yep.
But just know it's implied. But we will talk about it too. And if there's anyone you want us to shout out specifically for prayer requests to the general audience, we will do that for you.
Or praise reports as well.
Praise reports are important. Gratitude prayer in the morning.
Always.
Gratitude prayer followed up with Irish coffee. I'm telling you, that's not a bad combo. I've done that on the weekends.
That's right.
You're never gonna hear either one of us say no to bourbon or whiskey here.
Amen to that.
All right. All right. Hey, everybody, we will talk to you next week. Promise. We're holding to that.
Yes.